Welcome to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Our annual forum features Chapelboro's movers and shakers debating the big issues affecting our community and you. And it begins now.
Chapel Hill is a vibrant university town, but we are having trouble attracting young professionals. 7.5% of Chapel Hill's population is between 25 and 34 years old. Percentage of 25 to 34-year-olds in Durham and Raleigh is twice as high. A lot of young professionals love our community, feel connected to it, whether they're connected to UNC or not, but they end up choosing to live somewhere else. So what does our community need to do to attract and retain the people who will keep Chapel Hill moving for the next few decades? I'm Aaron Keck. I'll be your moderator this hour. Our topic is young professionals, and we're joined by six of them, young professionals who live both inside and outside our community. So from left to right on your radio dial, Kristen Smith joining us here from the Chapel Hill Carver Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Aaron.
Jess Anderson, also a member of the Chapel Hill Town Council. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Brad Bednar, community member, works for Channel Advisors, or will shortly.
Good Thank to be you, with Aaron. You. Thank you.
Matt Bailey is a community member. You hear him on the commentators, does research for radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Travis Creighton, UNC graduate student, joining us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
And last but not least, from Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we're talking about attracting and retaining young professionals to not just Chapel Hill, but Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Orange County in general. First of all, before we get started, who here lives in Chapel Hill? Five of us, one of us doesn't. That would be Brad. So let me go around the table for the people who currently live in Chapel Hill. Just briefly, why do you live in Chapel Hill? What is it that motivates you to move to live here, Matt?
Well, I fell in love. My wife had been living here ever since she graduated from college at Guilford in the early 90s, and I fell in love with her. And subsequently, we started long-distance dating, and so I started coming up here in the mid-2000s. So we have an interesting perspective in that she remembers Chapel Hill when it really was the place to go if you were young, creative, progressive. And by the time I came up here, I started seeing that the rest of the triangle had caught up to us. And so I'm sure that'll be something we'll discuss more as the hour progresses.
It's going to come up again. Travis Creighton.
So for me, I moved to Chapel Hill in 2009 when I came here to get my undergraduate degree. I returned to grad school in the fall. So for me, it's partially being in school. But I also lived here in those 2 years that I wasn't in school, in part just because I moved here. I really like this community. I think a lot of great things are going on. And I believe in a lot of the potential that we have in Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Tom Jensen.
The reason I decided to stay in Chapel Hill after I graduated from UNC in 2006 is I really value having a walkable, transit-friendly lifestyle, and living in Chapel Hill is somewhere where I live, I don't have to get in the car when I'm in Chapel Hill. Like, I would estimate that on an annual basis, I drive less than 100 miles within the town of Chapel Hill because I really can just walk everywhere I go. The other reason is that I have season tickets to four UNC sports teams. I go to about 75 or 80 games a year. I actually work in Raleigh, so it is a bit of a commuting sacrifice to choose to live in Chapel Hill, but I like being able to just walk back from the Dean Dome at 11 o'clock at night instead of having to drive back to Raleigh.
Kristen Smith.
So although born, my mom hates that I have to write Durham on my birth certificate. I was born in Durham, then General Hospital, but lived majority of my life in Chapel Hill, moved away for job opportunities and came back to be close to family, and went to the University of North Carolina. I agree with Tom that we live in a place that is a small town. People talk about that we're growing so fast. It's really a small town, but with big city amenities, and very fortunate to live in Chapel Hill now.
Jess Anderson, you're on the town council. It would be scandal if you left now.
Could be tough, yeah. So, well, first of all, it's kind of like being carded, being in this room. Like, it's very nice of you to include me with younger folks, but I'm not sure I'm really the youngest in the room. But we really moved here for primarily the schools. Also, we wanted a progressive university town. We wanted some place that we felt like aligned with our values politically and socially, and also kind of like what Kristen said, that it's really about kind of that small town feel where there's still a lot of exciting things to do and people from all over the world.
And then finally, Brad, who is not the only one in the room who doesn't live in Chapel Hill, because I'll count myself as a young professional, and I also live in Durham. So, but Brad, you've got the mic. Why do you live in Durham?
Well, I lived in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for years when I was at UNC, and I was working at the university or going to school. But the point in time came where I worked in a tech vertical, and I started thinking about where can I have the most access to jobs without having to have a 35-50 minute commute every day. And living in Durham, I'm 15-20 minutes from Mooresville, Raleigh. I'm 15-20 minutes away from Chapel Hill. I can pretty much get anywhere I want to go and only spend about an hour and a half or 2 hours a week in the car driving. So it was kind of a quality of life thing more than anything else.
So there's like a whole bunch of different aspects of this issue that we could discuss, but I want to begin by asking Travis Creighton to speak, because you wrote an article that was published in, I think, a couple places, Orange Politics being one, about the aging of Chapel Hill's population, focusing on some analysis from Spinnaker Strategies, I think it was, about the extent to which Chapel Hill's population, just in general, is getting older, which is surprising in and of itself because we're a university town and the town where a lot of people move here because of the schools, but nevertheless, our population is aging.
Yeah, so I think the piece you're talking about, I was mainly focusing in on how we compare on sort of young professional statistics, but I did sort of highlight a piece of this analysis that Spinnaker Strategies looked at, which is finding that the growth that we're seeing in our population is certainly among the older demographics, and that what we're seeing is an attraction of Chapel Hill as more of a perhaps retirement destination given some of the demographics that the consultant looked at, as opposed to being really a community where a variety of ages and people at different stages of life can live. And so I think that this is an interesting statistics sort of single out because it does sort of challenge our traditional notions of what Chapel Hill is and who Chapel Hill is and what our values are and what makes our community unique. I think Matt was sort of alluding to this in his introductory comments about what attracts people to Chapel Hill, and having a university gives us a lot of the vibrancy that I think attracts a wide range of ages, but it's somewhat concerning when you see such a low percentage of young professionals. And so specifically the numbers I looked at were from American Community Survey data, which actually separates out students versus non-students. So the statistics you were alluding to at the beginning of this conversation, that 7.5% of our population, that's 25 to 34 year olds who are not students. That's half the rate of that same population who are not students in Durham and Raleigh, which are hovering at about 15%. So you can see that we really lag. And there's some additional data you can look at that Carolina Demography has done that I know Kristen was showing me before we went on the air, where you really see in terms of college towns, North Carolina, in Chapel Hill, we have the greatest decline once you sort of age out of that college age demographic. So that 25 to 34, we have the greatest decline of any college community. So we're also lagging behind in that. So that has major implications in terms of what our community is able to offer and who we're attracting and what that does to our quality of life.
Kristen came more prepared than I think anyone so far today, and she's sifting through her notes. So what I can see are line
it's
graphs.
It's because I'm bad at improv, not like present company. So I have to plan it and bring a cheat sheet or clip notes. But what Carolina Demography was showing, that Chapel Hill is not unique as far as a college town. A lot of people talk about brain drain, and you see in Pitt County where ECU is, in Watauga where App State is, you see this great influx of young people coming to go to school, but Orange County has the sharpest decline and basically exodus of young professionals. All of us here around the table are endangered species, and I think that's why it's important to have this forum, to have this discussion about what we can do to both retain young professionals that might be being priced out of the market, but also attract young professionals with through job creation.
Jess, let me ask you, you're on the town council, so you're privy to a lot of these conversations. Why do we think that is? What is it about Chapel Hill that is driving young people out once they graduate from UNC more than Boone is driving young people out after they graduate from App State, or Greenville is driving people out after they graduate from ECU? What is it about Chapel Hill?
Sure. Well, I'm not sure that I'm privy to any conversations that others aren't, but I think some of the things that we've been talking about have been, of course, the price of dirt in Chapel Hill, and that is it's expensive to live here. And when you're getting out of college, that's the toughest time to, you know, to be able to afford. I think 10 years later, it's much easier, like fogies like me, to be able to afford something in Chapel Hill. I also think there is, you know, it's great that we have launch and we have incubator space. I think we need to do even more to have some of that creative, flexible office space so that people coming out of Chapel Hill, coming out of UNC, feel like they have a place to go, not just a place for a year or two, but somewhere they can grow into after that. So I think those are kind of the two that we've talked about the most.
I asked at the outset how many of us live in Chapel Hill, and five of us do, and two of us don't, if I'm including myself. How many of us work in Chapel Hill? Kristen does, Travis does, I do, Jess's way. Is that town council that
yeah.
you're?
Yeah. Okay.
But your other job is not in Chapel Hill, so the jobs aren't necessarily. We're living here and commuting out, Travis.
Well, yeah, Aaron, I think you touch on a good point, and I think Jess sort of alluded to this too. And I think in my analysis of the problem is that we just don't have the jobs that are able to keep the UNC graduates that are coming out of UNC that might want to stay here, or to attract talent from outside of the region that wants to come here. And so for me, for example, I graduated from UNC undergrad in 2013. I was working at Duke and living in Chapel Hill, so I was commuting out for those 2 years. Now I'm a graduate student again and work at the university, and so for me that's a much better quality of life now. I'm not commuting out. But I think that is a major problem that we have to look at, is we don't have a job base that isn't UNC and UNC Healthcare. And in terms of entry-level work for recent graduates at the university, there are very limited research jobs where that is, and those jobs are often short-term jobs that folks might take before going back to graduate school. I have a number of friends I know who have done that and have stayed in the community, and now they're planning to leave again because there just aren't other opportunities. And so I think the question that we really have to grapple with is one of what are the jobs that are missing in our community? How do we sort of fill that role? And how do we fit into the regional economy here in the Triangle? You know, I think a lot of times we get caught in conversations of us competing with Durham or competing with Raleigh, but on a national scale, you know, how are we compared to other college towns? What do their economics look like? How are they retaining and attracting both their own graduates and others, and why are we not doing that, and what can we do better? Those are sort of the questions I think we really have to grapple with, because before we can think about cultivating a really successful young professional culture, we really need that job base to keep people here so they can actually afford to live here and continue to live here.
Follow-ups on that? Brad.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea where we have the incubator space in Chapel Hill where we can kind of launch these startups, but for me, where I'm 10 years into my career, where do the startups go once they've been launched? I work for tech companies. I've worked kind of exclusively at these long-term established companies that still have the startup heart. So they have 4 or 5 floors of a building. They have amenities everywhere. They're not just drawing people in with salary, but they're also drawing people in with all of these big fringe benefits. And for me, maybe it's the price of dirt, maybe it's other things, but where are these giant, you know, 4, 5, 6-story buildings that are exclusively in these high-demand job sectors in Chapel Hill? And I can't find that here.
Jess Anderson, you're nodding your head at that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. But I mean, we've talked about this in terms of economic development, that, and I know we'll talk about this in a future hour, and I know this because I'm moderating that hour and I'm planning on asking the question, that some members of the Board of County Commissioners, for instance, have said maybe we shouldn't go after the sort of the big ticket items, the larger businesses, because those businesses are going to be more attracted to other parts of the Triangle anyway, like the RTP or maybe Alamance or Durham, that there are certain things that we can specialize in, but that may not necessarily be the tech companies that still have that startup feel but have been around for 10 or 15 years and have established themselves. So we've got Launch, we've got 1789, am I right about the year? Yeah. We've got a couple of other, blank for a second, we've got a couple of other really cool incubators that can launch businesses, but then after they've been around for a couple of years, where do they go?
Right, and yeah. I think we do need to be realistic that we don't have a ton of open space left, so we're not going to be building, you know, enormous office spaces that can necessarily accommodate the 4 and 5 floors, but I think we can do something in between. We still have some space left to be creative and think about what kind of office space we do want to have.
Matt Bailey?
You know, it's interesting that we've gotten to the point of the conversation where we've talked about, you know, literally physically making room for people to live in our community and for people to work in our community, and I think that a lot of times this link between how we want our community to look in terms of, do we want buildings that are 2 stories tall, or do we want buildings in strategic locations that are 6 stories tall, that we don't necessarily link these two conversations. But the reality is the zoning decisions that we have as a community have made over the last 30 years have directly led to a situation where we don't have affordable homes that make sense. And by affordable homes, I don't mean necessarily government subsidized housing. I just mean market rate apartments that young professionals find attractive compared to our communities. And we all have the office space that those companies, whether they're startups or established businesses, find attractive. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a 29-year-old who, you don't have kids yet, you're not married yet, and you're looking at an apartment. Well, would you rather live in an apartment in downtown Durham where you have access to Motorco and Full Steam and all these great restaurants, and that it's a new building and it's walkable and it has access to transit? Or would you rather live in a 40-year-old garden-style apartment in Chapel Hill that's just not nearly as attractive? That's the decision people are making, and that's why they're not choosing us. And the same decisions companies are making in terms of evaluating office space. So I think that if we really do want to be a community that still has age diversity, that still is welcoming to people who are, you know, not as, you know, Ms. Anderson and I are starting to do, transition to that, you know, married with kids demographic, you know, we need to address the fact that we need a place for people to live and a place for their employers to locate.
Kristen Smith?
I completely agree, and I think that it's so hard not to bemoan the past decisions and where it's left us, but where, how can we play catch-up, and how can we make literal space and room? And I think it has to be both and. I don't think we give up on the big ticket. Yes, Durham maybe has the edge on the gaming industry, but there, and I'd like Brad's input, can we leverage high-speed internet access to recruit bigger employers, we don't have a lot of open space, but I think we can redevelop and create space for these companies. And I think, and also better nurture our relationship with the university. I think I'm glad the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development is sponsoring this forum, and I think they've really seen the opportunities that lie with researchers and people much smarter than I that are going to commercialize their research and create businesses that can hire someone like Brad who just got out of school.
Travis has a point, but I want Brad to follow up on that. What would attract a place like that with four or five stories to Chapel Hill?
That's a great question. I think that part of it is just going to be long-term, like, guaranteed stability. So knowing that in 5 years or 10 years they're not going to be priced out of the market when the price of real estate goes up in Chapel Hill as it's going to ever do. You know, beyond that, I think just being able to have these 200 to 500 person companies, however we make it work, whether it's in 3 buildings or 5 buildings, lets you have that not just upward mobility where you work, but lateral mobility. You can change your career. What I do today, I didn't do 5 years ago, and I didn't do what I did 5 years ago 5 years before that, and that facilitated kind of moving around within the university system or smaller companies. Whereas if there was one big place I could go, if we could bring in a Google or a Microsoft, we have the infrastructure here. We have the university. We've got multiple universities if you count the neighbors to the east a little bit. You know, I think all the pieces are there.
You don't count those
folks. No, why wouldn't we? But I think that knowing that you're safe and secure, I think part of the advantage of moving out to Morrisville or wherever is that you can build a building yourself, and you can be relatively sure that you're not going to be paying twice or three times as much for that as you are now. Whereas I don't even know how one would go about buying a building in Chapel Hill to run a business.
It's what MetLife did with Carrie. And we have small success stories like New Media Campaigns, Three Birds Marketing, Youth Digital, which are smaller tech companies that are growing. But how do we multiply that?
Before we go on to Travis Creighton's point, I just realized that I've been derelict in my duty and not mentioned 15 minutes in that if you've got a question, if you're listening out there and you've got a question that you want to ask our panelists, you can tweet them to us or just tweet them in general. Use the hashtag WCHL Forum, and we'll get those questions on the air right now. Travis?
Sure. So I just wanted to go back to a little bit of what Matt and Kristen were saying. And I think what we have in Chapel Hill are a lot of strengths and amenities. You know, Matt mentioned Motorco and Full Steam and a lot of the other attractions in downtown Durham. We have a lot of great things in downtown Chapel Hill and throughout our community that really are amenities that are attractive to not just our college students, but a number of people who could consider themselves young professionals and live in our community. I think what's really missing in our community is we haven't quite taken all of these assets that we have and put them together in a comprehensive plan to really move us forward and say, we recognize we are short on young professionals. Young professionals are a driver of economic health. We have a major research institution, the flagship institution in the state of North Carolina, and we're not appropriately leveraging that relationship and the strength that's coming out of that university and the talent there to really strengthen our own local economy. And so what it really takes for us to put together these pieces. The other point I would bring up that I think, you know, as much as we bemoan past planning decisions, and I think there's plenty of reason to do that, some decisions were made were very good. We have the second largest transit system in the state of North Carolina. Given our size, that's incredibly impressive. We're second only to Charlotte. You know, if you combine, I think, go Raleigh and go Durham, we're still outperforming both of those markets in Chapel Hill Transit. And if you look at all indicators, young professionals want to live in areas where they don't have to drive, as Tom, I think, rightfully sort of pointed out in his lifestyle. They don't want to drive. They want walkable places. And also, we have an urban growth boundary, so we're not sprawling out and creating the kinds of development that we know young people don't want to live in. So some decisions were made that actually really poise our community to be a place that can attract the kinds of people who are working in these innovative sectors and create a kind of economic vibrancy we don't have, and also attract those companies that want to be here. We do have a Google office in downtown Chapel Hill, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and Google, I think, wants to be here for all of the reasons I'm listing. But what we really need is some comprehensive planning and some thought to say, how do we put these pieces together to attract the people we know want to live here? And I think business might look very different, and what office space we need is going to look very different as the economy continues to change and the nature of work continues to change. So what we might consider limitations right now could be turned into strengths, but we're not doing the kind of long-range planning and the kind of connecting the dots we really need to do to be competitive in a global economy, and that's where I think our weakness lies.
That's a good point. I want to turn to Tom Jensen, who haven't heard from him in a minute, piggybacking off of that, and also jumping off of Matt's point from earlier about the increasing desirability of Durham, right? Durham, Chapel Hill used to have this big advantage on Durham because Durham had this reputation of not being as good. That reputation is disappearing, and Durham was always underrated to begin with, and people are realizing that now. So, Tom, you mentioned you live in Chapel Hill partly because you've got really strong connections to UNC. You've got season tickets to the Dean Dome and Bashmore Stadium. If you didn't have that, because you work in Raleigh, so the commute isn't as big of an issue, what else would keep you in Chapel Hill as opposed to the loft in downtown Durham other than the tie to UNC Athletics?
Well, if not for UNC, there's no way I'd live in Chapel Hill. I mean, there's really no way at all. And part of that is because there isn't enough vibrancy in UNC beyond, in Chapel Hill beyond UNC. For instance, I was in Athens watching baseball a few weeks ago, and there's just so much more to downtown Athens than there is to downtown Chapel Hill. So I think that we're making steps in the right direction that way, in terms of building more stuff downtown, and hopefully there will be more interesting stuff to do and more interesting restaurants and that kind of thing. But, you know, what I always say, I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and what I always say is I like UNC better than I like U of M, and I like North Carolina as a state better than Michigan, but I like Ann Arbor massively more than Chapel Hill as an actual community, and that's actually because it's bigger and more robust, and there's more interesting things to do and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I like it that we're building stuff to sort of make ourselves a larger community, because I think that is going to make it somewhere where there's, for instance, more stuff to do during the summer. Like, during the summer, I literally spent 50% of last summer outside of Chapel Hill because there's nothing here to keep me engaged during the summer months, whereas somewhere like Ann Arbor, there's a lot more effort to sort of put together things that people of all different ages sort of enjoy doing over the course of that time when the students are gone.
Do you think Chapel Hill is getting better as far as that goes or not?
I think it has the potential to get better, and we'll have to see if sort of some of the kind of progress that we're making continues. I mean, I think what you see at 140 West is a heck of a lot better than the surface parking lot that used to be there. I think that what you're seeing at East 54 is a heck of a lot better than the Best Western that used to be there. And I think that some of these new developments that are coming online are going to have similar sort of positive impacts. But we had a situation in the election last fall where voters who in the community did sort of vote for a different kind of direction for the town, and that's one that I'm personally concerned about. But the reality is that the people who bothered to show up in the town council election wanted a different sort of direction, and we'll see how that all plays out.
We've got to take a break in a couple minutes. Matt Bailey first.
You know, it's interesting because we all talk about how much we love the Franklin Street experience. We love how it's walkable. We love that people come together and run into each other in the street. Yet, to Tom's point, when we've made moves in this community to build little miniature versions of Franklin Street where people can have that same experience, whether it be in Ephesus Fordham or at Obie Creek or in other parts of our community, we do have a vocal section of our community that comes up and rises up to save their strip malls. And I think we need to realize that why not make more of our community be like miniature versions of Franklin Street, especially in areas that, as Travis alluded to, can take advantage of our outstanding transit infrastructure.
Travis, last point, and then we've got to take
a break. Sure, I just wanted to build on sort of what Tom said. I think, you know, there is sort of a tendency in this community to be averse to growth and afraid of it. But the reality is a lot of the things that we say we want more amenities, we want better things, we want more affordable housing, we want a lot of things, but we can't get that without growth. And if we think about growth and adding new residents, that actually gets us closer to what we want and what we say we need. So if we want more office and commercial space, we need people to fill those jobs. They need somewhere to live. We have to grow as a community to really become what we say we want to be.
You're listening to the WCHL Community Forum. Forum. This is our panel on young professionals, attracting them and retaining them in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. You're listening to Tom Jensen, Travis Creighton, Matt Bailey, Kristen Smith, Jess Anderson, Brad Bednar. We're going to be back with more, our second half of this panel, after this.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit. To foodies.
To innovation. To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Summer is rapidly approaching, and fall will be here before you know it. Need some extra courses to help you prepare for college? Need to complete your high school diploma or get a GED? Looking for training or certification to help you get that dream job? Classes begin May 16th, so visit durhamtech.edu and search summer registration. Schedule a meeting with an academic advisor who will give you access to our web registration system. You'll be amazed at the great selection of interesting courses you'll find. And get ready to do great things.
It's time for Shred-a-thon 2016. Orange County residents and small businesses can destroy their confidential documents for free at two paper shredding events. Thursday, April 28th, visit University Place in Chapel Hill with walk-up service. Saturday, April 30th, visit Hampton Point in Hillsborough with a drive-through service. Both events are from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. There's a limit of five boxes or bags per person and only one trip per person or business. That's April 28th and 30th for Spring Shred-a-thons, sponsored by Orange County Solid Waste Management. Call 919-968-2788 for details.
Welcome back to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzoo Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government. Once again, here's Aaron Keck.
Speaking to young professionals this hour, this is our hour of the WCHL Community Forum, where we talk about attracting young professionals and retaining them in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. We're joined by Tom Jensen, Travis Creighton, Matt Bailey, Brad Bednar, Jess Anderson, and Kristen Smith. And picking right up where we left off, Jess Anderson with a follow-up to the last couple of comments.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, I wanted to comment on the idea that that in the last election, people came out, like Tom was saying, that they just really don't want any growth and they want to move away from having dynamic things going on downtown or anything interesting, and that they want strip malls. I mean, I'm sure there are people in town who love strip malls and who just want trees only. I think that certainly exists, but I actually don't think that that's the majority of people who came out, or that those weren't the conversations that I was having during the election at all. I think people are concerned about infrastructure keeping up with growth, which I think is a really important thing for us to keep in mind. And from my perspective on town council, it's something I have to think about. Those things going together, not that we don't grow, but that we make sure we can accommodate and that we're strategic about who we're trying to attract. I mean, I would love to hear about what the ideas are for, you know, are we just trying to keep up with Raleigh and Durham, or is there some other benchmark or goal that we're going for? Because I think that's the only way we develop a plan, and a long-term plan. I don't know what it means to just say we want more young people. So that's something that I think we have to clarify as a community. I also think that there are things that we are doing that young people do like. Like, we were one of the first communities to come out against HB2. I think young people in particular do care about that kind of stuff. So we have strengths that other places don't, but when we're trying to compete with Durham, I think we're going to lose. I think we need to capitalize on what's strong about us. Also, I think when we think about kind of being walkable and having small Franklin streets everywhere, the way Matt was talking about it, I think we have to think carefully about it. I'm not opposed to it, but I think we siphon off traffic and vitality from downtown when we make tiny little places all over that are supposed to be an alternative to downtown. So we can't have it all. We can't have Obie Creek and Ephesus Fordham and everywhere be the exciting place to be. So I think we need to think carefully. I'm actually more interested in the downtown strategy that we're coming up with and really making downtown as interesting and kind of eclectic as possible going forward, as opposed to necessarily siphoning people out into, you know, into the rural buffer. So those were just a few comments that I wanted to make.
Kristen Smith?
I might concede to the planning grad student to answer those specifically, but part of it is although I think I agree with, I feel like I should say Councilwoman Anderson, with
we're beyond that, aren't
with
we?
The idea that we're both honored to still be considered both young and professional and be on this panel. So, but
oh, is it professional as well?
I think we lost that in the first 5 minutes. But I think part of it, we can benchmark against other college towns, but I think part of it is bringing more young people. I think we need more Toms. I think that we will create vibrancy beyond the university if we have more people here in the summer. And I think, and here down on Franklin Street. And I think some of that is going to happen organically. But no matter our position on the HB2, if someone cannot afford to live here, they're not going to move here. And so I think that although these progressive values that we all embody and want to, want to confirm, I think that it still doesn't, you know, pay your rent check. And so I think that it's really important to think about both, like how we progressive values are attracting people, but we also need to provide the space for these people to live.
I know Travis has a response, but I want to go to Brad first, because I know you are looking at the cost of housing and heard about this from the State of the Community report that Aaron Nelson gave for the Chamber of Commerce not that long ago. The difference between the cost of buying a house, the average house that sells in Orange County versus Durham County, is really significant. It's $207,000 in Durham County versus $342,000 in Orange County. Same thing with rent for an apartment. I know I live in an apartment in Durham because I can't find the same quality, the same amount for the same cost or anything near to it in Chapel Hill. But Brett, you've got direct experience with this because you just shop for a house.
I do. I bought a house 3-4 weeks ago, and even though I'm at a point in my career where I make a very comfortable living, I shopped around in Durham for a lot of reasons. One being just that it seemed like a better value for the dollar. My house, which was around $220,000 in Durham, probably would have been $350,000, $400,000 in Chapel Hill. But when I think about where I want to live and where I want to go, I know that Chapel Hill has a segment of the population that's thinking about the future, and they want more young professionals. They want more things that'll draw people like me in. Like imagine the fact that Target might be showing up on Franklin Street in a while. Something that I couldn't picture. Right. Yeah. You know.
Is someone going to confirm that today, or
the much bandied rumor? and which blows my mind. Like I have a bit of cognitive dissonance here because, as a person who left the university and was looking for the first place to live in Chapel Hill, like it felt very much like the establishment versus me. I remember kind of boutique shops on Franklin Street raising up their fists and shaking when GameStop or Walgreens moved in there, saying, this is not what we want Chapel Hill to be. We don't want chain stores. We want tiny boutique shops that are for the higher income, more established clientele. And even now when I think about Chapel Hill, I know that in 10 years from now we want it to be great and beautiful and have all stuff for young professionals, but how do we get there? Because it seems like it's still that establishment versus us, quote-unquote, mentality from a person who's in Durham now.
Should mention, this is a good time to mention that you can send us a tweet if you've got a question that you want us to ask the panelists, hashtag WCHL Forum. If you want to submit your question. We did have someone submit a comment along the lines of Chapel Hill has sold a development, all the life is in Carrboro now. There's no question on the end of it, but if you want to respond to that, you can. Travis Creighton, you had a point from earlier.
Well, I first want to say I think Brad brings up a good point, that when we think about decisions being made in Chapel Hill, because we don't have any young professionals living here, those voices can't even be a part of the conversation. So how do we actually think about people who might want to live here, who might currently be choosing to live in Durham, or might move out of state or elsewhere, who have very strong UNC ties or not? They simply can't move here at all, so they can't be a part of the discussion about how we move Chapel Hill forward. So thinking about those voices that can never be in the conversation at all, I think, is really important. And the second thing I want to do is sort of go back and respond to some of what Jessica was saying. You know, I think I think in terms of benchmarking and think about where we want to go, I think Kristen raises a good point. We can look at what other college towns are doing. I think we need to move away from this mindset of competition with Durham and Raleigh. Like, yes, we are certainly competing with Durham and Raleigh to some extent, but the question is, how can we complement that? We are in a regional economy, and so what is our niche? What makes us unique? What makes us Chapel Hill? And how do we carve out, both in terms of economics and housing and amenities, to make us sort of be unique and in an attractive place for people to live? Those are the questions I think we really need to be answering. And, you know, I think our community really does pride itself on being progressive and being a leader. But I think the difficulty is we constantly see a disconnect between where we are on national and state policy and how unified and progressive we are, but yet how regressive our local policies are in terms of land use, in terms of zoning, in terms of housing. You know, we're one of the least affordable places to live in North Carolina and really around the country. You know, our metro region ranks very poorly in terms of those metrics, in large part because we have really complex, really expensive land use and regulatory processes that drive people away. And so we need to reconcile the fact that we have really strong progressive values that we strive to live up to, but locally we are failing, and we really need to reconcile these values and say we're going to talk the talk, but we're also going to walk the walk, and we're going to change our policies to make sure that we're a more inclusive and welcoming community, and that it is not prohibitively expensive to live here and be a resident.
Matt Bailey and Jessica Anderson both have points. We'll go with Matt first, and then Jess. And I think we're getting to a point that both Jess and Travis have raised, which is, if we're going to attract people to Chapel Hill, we've got to focus on what is it that's strong about us. So that's an important question to consider, too, and that's kind of where I want to turn after this.
Well, I think Travis has a great point that a lot of times sort of we secretly at least talk about, oh, well, you know, we used to have all the advantages, and then, you know, Durham came and out progressive. Is that a verb? I guess it is now.
It is now, yeah. We're young professionals. We make our own.
And it's true that we need to think about being collaborative as a metropolitan region and not think about being competitive. And it's true that we need to think about how can we get people not to necessarily choose between Chapel Hill and Durham, but can they choose between Austin, Texas, or Portland, Oregon, or the Twin Cities in Minnesota. But I do think there's a valid point in making the comparison. It's that sometimes here in Chapel Hill, we make decisions under the assumption, an assumption that was probably true 20 years ago, that if you're young, if you're politically progressive, if you're culturally cutting edge, that Chapel Hill is your only logical choice in Central North Carolina. And the fact is, for the last 10 years, that simply hasn't been true. And as long as we keep making policies, and I see this sometimes in, you know, assumptions that people will make when working with developers, but, well, of course you're going to come to Chapel Hill. Well, you know, people have other alternatives now that they didn't have in past decades. And I think it's time that we recognize that, you know, we're not the only choice for people who think progressively, for people who are on the cultural cutting edge. But I also think that there's a discrepancy between how those of us in the room and those of us who've been a part of this community, whether for a short time or a long time, view Chapel Hill compared to how people who just landed here and don't know this history view us. Those of us in the room think of us as being a progressive place. We think of us being an inclusive community. And I think that even though we debate over the details, I think everybody in the discussion really cares about these values. However, when a lot of people come to Chapel Hill for the first time, that's not what they see. They see a community that is older than they are. They see a community that is whiter and less diverse than they are. And they see a community that is richer than they are. And I think sometimes that's the elephant in the room that we kind of want to ignore in this community.
Jessica Anderson?
Well, I forgot to say earlier that I totally agreed with one of Travis's points, so I'll say it now. And then I agreed with another one of his points. So, first of all, I think that there is... to me, another elephant in the room is what Travis has been talking about, which is this need for comprehensive future land use planning, that we cannot achieve any of these goals without deciding where do we want things, how do we send signals to people for what we want, where we want, and stop waiting for people to come to us with what they think, what they can get a loan for or whatever, which is totally reasonable on their part. It makes complete sense. So that's something that I've been really proud of the council that we're working on, you know, a pretty, not a comprehensive, complete LUMO update, but land use management ordinance changes that I think will help with that. I think it's a conversation that's come up in the past. It's come up again now, and there are some of us who are really, really interested in seeing that move forward so that it is a community conversation. And part of that, of course, needs to be, and Travis is one of our young voices. He exists. We need more young voices in town planning, but he is there. But I think that's something that's incredibly important to kind of all the issues we're talking about, that young people or retirees, a lot of us care about the same things too. We don't really love traffic. We don't love not having you know, a bike lane that actually goes to the whole way to where you want to go. I mean, there are some things that we can work on and that we are doing to just make it a more livable community for everybody. And to Matt's point, I agree that we are no longer kind of the oasis in Central North Carolina that we were, and thank goodness. I don't like being alone. I don't like us being kind of the fringy Orange County, you know, crazies who are always coming up with the liberal ideas. I think we need help. We need our communities around us to join us in our liberal progressive policies. So I don't think it's a bad thing that we're being out progressive or equally progressive, perhaps.
I
think we need it.
If Jesse Helms wants to build a zoo, it's
got
to be a big zoo now.
I want friends at the zoo.
And it's funny because, you know, you say, you know, your brand is what people make fun of you for. And it was 30 years ago that Jesse Helms made fun of us for being those progressive people. Well, now people make fun of us for being Lilly Pulitzer. So, you know, I think that we maybe need to... You know, certainly we need to extol the virtues of our brand. And I think one of our great assets that we're not capitalizing on is we could be the best university town in America. I mean, Durham and Raleigh are great cities, but they're not university towns. We are a university town.
Home to the first public university. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think people miss that. And, that's what makes this a special place and why so many of us come back here and stay here. But I don't want to necessarily be a zoo, and I certainly don't want to be a zoo of only one type of animal. And so I think when we talk about, for those that we may have lost, the listeners we may have lost by saying land use management ordinance, what we're trying to say is, how do we make decisions?
Not sexy.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, sexy or not, I want to make this a broad representation. We need to make these local decisions that are being made more accessible to a greater diversity of people, whether it be people of color, whether it be younger people. And I think, how do we do that? And I don't think we do it the same way that we've always done it, which is long, boring meetings Monday night at 7 o'clock or Tuesday night at 7:30. And so how are we going to do that? And I think that's going to require a lot of leadership and a lot of creative thinking about how we can make those decisions more, you know, bring the table to other people, you know, make sure that they're seated there.
We did just get another comment via Twitter. Again, you can send them to us at hashtag WCHL forum. This comment is, vibrancy requires grit and edge. Chapel Hill has pushed the edge and grit out while Durham embraced it. This is from Carborough Man, so the at Carborough Man, whoever he or she is, sent that to us. So something to think about as we're having this conversation, which is also the question that several of us have raised, which is, what is it that attracts people to Chapel Hill? What is it that can bring us here? Jess, you mentioned the schools at the very beginning. We've mentioned the culture, the connection to UNC. I know in the State of the Community report that Aaron Nelson gave a couple of weeks ago, he talked about sort of public safety and the feeling of safety as being something that residents are particularly happy with, even if that's not necessarily what brings them here. It might be what keeps them here. What else attracts people to Chapel Hill?
The town survey really goes over it, and they talk about safety and security, access to restaurants and entertainment. My boss loves to talk about how we have the most restaurants per capita, and I get mad at him because we don't have the exact fact check on that. the availability of
parking. Way to call out your boss on the line.
He's got two panels after this to call me out on.
Yeah.
So we have the availability of parks and recreation opportunities, quality of public schools, and availability of cultural activities and arts, which I think Tom mentioned. And but I think it's about ensuring that we're maintaining it, that, like, this is a great place to have a restaurant, you know, that this is a great place to expand our park system, our greenway system, and I think those are those might be a reason that you come, but, you know, what are the reasons that you stay? And I think that goes back to what we've been talking about, which is jobs and housing, and really diversity of job options and diversity of housing options.
And even if that's a reason that people say that they come or even that they stay, it's not even necessarily something that people see. I know Travis and Brad both have points, but I want to ask Tom first, because you were mentioning earlier you're not really seeing the culture on Franklin Street that you do in Athens, Georgia, or in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And there is quite a bit of culture in downtown Chapel Hill. Just sort of walk down Franklin Street in your mind and think, oh, this place, but that doesn't necessarily translate into Franklin Street as a town full of culture. So what would it take to get to that point?
I'm not sure. A couple things that we haven't talked about that are sort of points of concern to me is, one thing that's reality is, if we're going to have people living in Chapel Hill, a lot of us are going to be working in Durham or Raleigh. Mm-hmm. It's a very utopian vision that we're going to have lots of people who can both live and work in Chapel Hill among young people. It's not very realistic. So one thing that's relevant to me is somebody who's probably always going to be working in Raleigh unless UNC wants to create some cushy position for me, is better transportation between Chapel Hill and Raleigh. One thing that happened recently that was sort of distressing to me was that we passed a sales tax for transportation in Orange County in 2012. Go Triangle is using that money, Orange County's money, to expand service for people who live in Raleigh and commute to Chapel Hill instead of expanding service the other way around. Well, that's completely backwards. We're paying the tax in Orange County, and the money's being used to help people who live in Raleigh. The last bus back from Raleigh to Chapel Hill at night leaves Raleigh at 6:40. Mm-hmm. I am not... personally, and I think a lot of people who live in Chapel Hill and work in Raleigh, I'm not on a schedule where I can get out of the office to make that 6:40 bus every day. And at that point, I'm driving back and forth. And if I have to drive back and forth, I'd rather just live in Raleigh and have it be a 5-mile trip. So that's one thing, is improving regional transportation to Raleigh. I'm very excited for the light rail when it eventually comes, because it will be good for getting people between Chapel Hill and Durham. But Raleigh's important, too. I also think that there's sometimes little things that maybe make a statement about how committed we really are to being a walking and transit-friendly community. The last couple of years, when we've had big snowstorms, all the snow just gets put on the sidewalk, and it's impossible to walk. And I'm somebody who walks as a choice. I mean, you're talking, for me, I walk 40 minutes from where I live next to the library to take the bus to Raleigh every day. It takes an hour when there's a foot of snow on the sidewalk, because we just dump it there and don't have a real plan. And that's a situation where we're actually saying, and I know we can like blame it on DOT and that kind of thing, but we are saying when that happens that we are prioritizing drivers over people who walk. And that's not just an issue for somebody like me who has options and can drive if they have to. It's an issue for people who don't have cars, people who are disabled, that kind of thing. So I think there's sometimes with some of these issues where we could maybe put our money where our mouth is a little bit more.
Travis?
So I think Tom raises a number of really good points, and I think that goes back to something I alluded to earlier, that we're really good at talking the talk on a lot of things that we think we're leaders on and want to be leaders on, but we need to be more walking the walk on a lot of these things. I wanted to circle back briefly to sort of what it is that draws people to Chapel Hill and what our attractions are. You know, I think at the heart of it really is UNC, and that people who want to be here because of the university, either because they attended the university, like many of us around this table, and have a strong sentimental attachment to the town as a result of that, or they want to be in a place, perhaps like my Jess may have moved here, where you have this university that's known as being a particularly progressive university and leading the town. And I think, you know, one of the things that I always talk about why I love living in Chapel Hill is that because UNC is here, we have unprecedented access to the arts. And Carolina Performing Arts is one of the leading arts institutions, I think, around the country. For example, I just saw the Martha Graham Dance Company on Friday, and this was their second performance of a brand new piece that Carolina Performing Arts debuted. And you just don't get that in other communities. Or in the fall, there was a very innovative sort of new Baroque opera called U.S. We All that debuted in New York the week before, and the very first stop outside of New York after it closed was Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and that's something you just really don't get in other communities. So we have these really amazing cultural resources that sort of UNC builds on. And I think those are something that really attracts people to be here. It's probably why we see a lot of retirees choosing to want to retire here. When we look at those demographic data I was talking about earlier, those kinds of amenities are attractive to that demographic, but also other demographics as well. You know, we have Cat's Cradle in Carrboro that is a stop on a lot of tours for a lot of up-and-coming bands, that is a great resource in our community as well. And when you think of sort of more edgier, grittier things, to go to Carrboro Man's comment. But to sort of circle back, I think really what we have to do to be a successful community and get closer to answering these questions is not just plan for what's being successful right now in our peer communities or our neighboring communities, but what's the next thing? What happens next? So I think a great example of why Durham is doing so well is they put in a very progressive land use plan that enabled a lot of uses. So that Rigsby Avenue corridor where Motorco and Fullsteam are, that was all commercial use where those kinds of brewery and restaurant uses were not allowed. They enacted a land use plan many, many years ago to change those uses, enable those changes to happen. So that just shows that really good long-range planning is a critical component of planning for what's next. So no one knew downtown Durham would become what it is even 10 years ago. But because they put in a really progressive plan to enable these creative things to happen, they did. And we're not doing that here. And so the question we don't need to answer is, what are communities doing right now that makes them successful? But what's the next trend? What's the next thing? And how do we leverage the resources we have to be that next community?
Brad, and that's going to take some risk, and so some risks and some unknowns. Sorry, Brad, and just that you may not know what is next, and you might, but you want to provide the possibility, the fertile ground for that to grow. Sorry, Brad.
No, and I'm glad that Travis Lipp is back here because Travis was talking about how great the university is and how much it contributes to why Chapel Hill is an amazing place to live. Chris, I think you said we could be the greatest, if we're not already, the greatest college town in America. The question I have about taking risks and looking forward is, what happens if state appropriations for universities keep dwindling as they have from 2007, 2008 onward, and schools and the arts here see budget cuts of 20 or 30% year after year after year? If we throw our lot in entirely with the health of the university and what the university can bring to the community, is there a risk that it's going to change Chapel Hill?
Well, I think that's a good point from the perspective of, let's not rely too heavily on the university as the source of all our jobs. I mean, right now, if you go to the number one, number two, number three employer in the town of Chapel Hill, it's UNC, mm-hmm. UNC Healthcare, and Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Third place used to be Blue Cross Blue Shield, but they left. And one of the reasons they left was because their employees wanted to be in a building where they could walk somewhere to lunch, which building that they're in, which is an architectural gem by many standards, the trapezoid as we call it, mm-hmm. didn't offer that. And that's because people's desires and tastes changed. When that was built in the 1970s, people cherished being out in a bucolic, almost rural setting. That's not what young people are looking for today, and I think that's part of our challenge, is that we haven't changed with that. And I think we do need to almost and sometimes pretend as if we don't have UNC here, because people don't all want to work at UNC.
Kristen Smith?
I think I think we've identified some, not maybe paradoxes, but dual things. We have to both say Chapel Hill is special within this region and collaborate as a region. We have to say the university is the reason that Chapel Hill exists, but we must work to create private sector jobs outside of the university. So it's these paradoxes that we're going to have to navigate and really support both all of the above and both and strategies about creating these jobs and also, leveraging the university.
I'm loving this conversation, but we're starting to run out of time. For those of you who are listening, if you're not 100% sure that this is a panel of young professionals, without calling anyone out, one of us at this table is actually using two different phones to text right now. So that's the proof right there.
It's those millennials.
It's those millennials. Yeah, Jess Anderson, we haven't heard from you in a while, so you have a chance to respond.
I would say that we definitely cannot pretend that the university is not one of our huge assets. I think we are getting better and better at collaborating with the university. I think we have some exciting things that we're trying to do with the university that go beyond just land use, that we have a lot of very cool collaborations coming up. And I would agree that we have to expand beyond that, but I don't think that we're ever going to untie ourselves from our identity as being a university town, and I think that's a great thing. I'm actually okay with that. I also think that as we're looking forward, and again, I keep on coming back to that long-term strategy as opposed to, haggling over individual projects or individual developments. I don't think that's gotten us where we want to be. So I think as we're really looking forward, thinking strategically about what we need and then where we want it, and that's going to include certainly housing for millennials. It's going to include housing for Gen Y, Gen X, whoever. I mean, I think we also have a huge problem with what do we do with our retirees. So I think there are a huge number of questions that we have to address all at once. But if we don't do it comprehensively, we're not going to get where we want to go.
We've got a minute left. Travis Creighton, you've got your hand up, so you get the last word.
Very briefly, I just wanted to circle back. I think Brad brought up a really uncomfortable question, but one we really need to think about. And I think Kristen really did a good job synthesizing why it's so important that we think about private sector job growth. But one thing I wanted to highlight is that UNC can be a catalyst for that job growth. So some statistics from UNC I just pulled up on my phone here. You know, there have been over 150 startups that have come out of UNC. That's 8,000 jobs created and $7 billion in annual revenue. But all of those are not necessarily being captured and retained here in Chapel Hill and Orange County. So we know that UNC has the ability to catalyze private sector job growth. We need to do a better job to work in partnership to capture that and keep it here.
I want to keep going for another 5 hours, but we got to wrap it up. Thank you to Kristen Smith, Jess Anderson, Brad Bednar, Matt Bailey, Travis Creighton, and Tom Jensen, and to all of you out there listening, including those of you who have been commenting via Twitter. You can listen to this forum again on our website, chapelboro.com. We'll have that up later. We'll also be re-airing this forum and all of the other 9 hours of the WCHL Community Forum over the course of the next couple of weeks. You'll have plenty more chances to revisit. I'm Aaron Keck. I've been your moderator. I'll be back next hour, but we got to take a break now. We'll have more of the WCHL Community Forum both on our website, on WCHL, and again after this. This has been the Young Professionals panel. You're listening to the Community Forum. Back after this.
This year's WCHL Community Forum has been presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks again to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzu Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government.
Hi, I'm Dwight Bassett with Chapel Hill Economic Development, and we're thrilled to be the presenting sponsor for this year's WCHL Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open to business and open for business every day of the year. Follow us on Twitter at @CHEconDev. Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.
Brooks Pierce Law Firm is a proud sponsor of the WCHL Community Forum and a proud supporter of the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. Our lawyers strive to provide excellent legal counsel in business and nonprofit matters, including employment, tax-exempt organizations, construction, intellectual property protection, and litigation. Find out how we can help your enterprise at brookspierce.com.
This is Charlie Ferris, owner-operator of Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road and Chapel Hill North. After 5 years, friends often ask if I'm sick of subs yet. The honest truth is no, and I don't think I'll ever tire of the best sub sandwich on the planet. But I do have a secret. You can get any one of our mouth-watering subs on a salad. We call it our sub in a tub, and these range from the fresh and light turkey provolone to the protein-packed original Italian. We just leave out the roll and stack your favorite meats and cheeses on a bed of crisp veggies. Come try one today at Jersey Mike's Subs.
Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership is proud to sponsor the WCHL Community Forum. The conversations of the forum aim to inform and empower community members, and as downtown's economic development leader, we strive to do the same for the downtown business community. Downtown offers a thriving local arts and cultural community, boasts world-renowned dining, and serves as the gathering spot for young and old. To learn more, head online and visit www.downtownchapelhill.com.
Ready to try something new this summer? Check out stand-up paddleboard yoga and fitness with Maria Finnegan Fitness. SUP yoga and SUP fitness classes are offered throughout the Triangle. Maria offers both indoor and outdoor sessions with summer classes beginning in June. Monthly classes as well as private bookings are available. This is a great idea for team building and corporate events. To learn more about SUP yoga and fitness, please visit mariafinnegan.com or email maria@mariafinnegan.com.
WCHL thanks the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office for presenting our 2016 Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business every day of the year. Follow them on Twitter at CHEconDev. That's CHEconDev. Economic Development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the Triangle.
Do you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with children? If so, you can make a tremendous difference in the life of a child. For more information on becoming a mentor with Blue Ribbon, please contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170. Again, that's 919-918-2170. And you can make a difference in the life of a child. Thank you to WCHL for your support of Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocates.